Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
We're back, baby. We are back, and we are recording this a few moments after the Lions take a victory on the road.
Let's go!
Against the defending Super Bowl champions in their house on their banner night.
Unreal.
They win 21-20. Wow. We got two of us here tonight, part of the Blue Kool-Aid crew, so I'm Big Z. Then we got Rud Dog.
Yo!
Rud Dog, man. I mean, I'm still trying to breathe from my anxiety and all the excitement of this game. It's nice to have football back, and man, in the best way possible. Best. It was not a clean game by any stretch of the imagination, Rud Dog, was it?
I don't think clean is the right word. Yeah, no, not by even a stretch. No, that was unbelievable.
This is week one of the NFL. Very sloppy. This is what you see in week one, though. It's just, if you can escape with a win, it's massive.
Yes.
Because obviously, like, the Lions last year got off to a really slow start, and it bit them in the end when they got hot because they missed out in the playoffs by one game. So getting these wins at the beginning of the year is huge for down the road because there's a lot of sloppy football. I mean, the Lions didn't play any preseason game. None of the starters played any preseason snaps.
And you could tell. Other than that first run, it took them.
And this is a hostile environment. You can see that at times, as we were just talking about Rud Dog, you know, some of the just the way the snaps operate and things of that nature on the road. And this is probably the loudest stadium in the NFL, if not like top three.
I got to give a shout out because at the end there, I could hear Lions fans getting real freaking loud. That was
awesome. There was a great Lions contingency in this crowd tonight.
Awesome.
Unless the blue just stuck out a lot amongst the sea of red. But I thought there was like a good, 10% of the crowd there, Lions fans, which is really good in an environment like the Chiefs, which is like a super rabid fan base.
Everyone accounting it was like all the people there, the announcers and stuff were saying, like, this is a bigger than normal travel out for the opening week. Usually it's a lot more sea of red. But Lions fans knew.
And Collinsworth even said at the end, good luck in a ticket in Detroit this season. Your best chance might be to go on the road and watch them play.
Yeah. Gone are the days of, you know, we brought an extra buddy with us to the game for the weekend. We'll just grab one from a scalper on the way in for dirt cheap, right? That's been a while, but.
Rud Dog, I think we should start with the rookies and how they played in this game.
Great place to
start. I kind of want to just talk about them all, really. Because they all contributed in just fantastic ways. But let's start with the defensive side, because the defense really won us this game, Rud Dog.
Yes.
The offense was not sharp by any stretch of the imagination.
They were there when you needed them, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they still had their ups and downs, but I want to start off with, the play that we highlighted the most is Jack Campbell, the flexion.
Oh, my gosh.
That is what we got him for. Those type of instincts. That's what's been missing.
Instincts and like who else is reaching out and covering that distance when they're not 6'5".
But that's instincts and agility. Oh, just the awareness of knowing where the man is
and reacting
to the pass and deflecting it. And then next play, pick six. All because he stopped that play.
True. Did you see
the pick
him
six
get
doesn't
up,
happen
though?
Without Campbell.
Did you see him he was pissed. He actually wanted to pick that. He got both hands on it, too. That would have been ridiculous.
I mean, that would have been an ungodly interception.
But, I think he had one like that in college, though, almost like identical, where he actually did haul it in. It was a little less last second. I guess that's the pro difference, right? But, yeah, was it the next play, the pick six?
Next play. Literally the next play.
Wow. So huge. So freaking huge.
And so that also shows, like, so, I mean, next play, Brian Branch, our rookie.
No, Z, the next play was the Barnes tackle for a loss on the sweep.
Maybe it was. Let me look.
Because that was early in the game, the pick six.
But anyways, regardless, Jack Campbell flashing right now.
Sweet.
Jack Campbell flashing right now. What, you know, people are like, oh, you don't draft a first-round linebacker, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Chiefs, that Bolton dude fucking tore us a new asshole a few times. I mean, excuse my language, but yeah, he did.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Except, okay, so Patrick Mahomes incomplete to deep middle. Then it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Brian Branch with a tackle on that play for 4 yard run, and then the 3rd and 6 interception for a touchdown.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Yeah, that, but like, wow. Just like that already, like, what linebacker have we had in the last, I mean, Levy, I guess, that could even make a play even close to something like that? Like,
right.
Gosh, so good.
I mean, you saw Malcolm Rodriguez early in the game not be able to cover the running back. And I think that there's a slight difference. Just, I mean, he just didn't have the size like Campbell has, too.
True.
To defend. Though I will say, space.
Malcolm was in perfect. If that guy had caught that Mahomes pass as, what was it, when Houston was around his legs? Rodrigo was in perfect position to lay that dude out, even if he caught it. So, like, Rodrigo was around. Yeah, he struggled, but like, our secondary struggled a little bit with coverage a few times.
Oh,
real bad on that one for
terrible Korea, 3rd and 20. That's why I was worried at the end of this game, 3rd and 4th and 20. I'm like, uh-oh, we know the lines of the past. We know somehow somebody's gonna get wide open down the middle or on this is gonna be completed. We'd rather be like 4th and 5.
Last decade, any defense we fielded, the Mahomes magic would have taken over and we would have lost that game.
But
yeah,
I mean,
Jack Campbell stud.
Yeah, Brian Branch, pretty solid, I would say. His way around the ball. And then, obviously, the ability to catch the ball and return for a touchdown is always important. It kind of sat in his lap a little bit, but he still corralled it in with one hand. I mean,
it was a heads-up play. It was just a heads-up play. It wasn't like he made a huge thing happen, but he was in the right place. And, yeah, no, like Collinsworth said during the broadcast, like, how many times do you see cornerbacks put that ball on the ground? Like,
right,
like that misdirection, like he so naturally was just like, boop.
I mean,
we saw
with C.J. Gardner-Johnson earlier in the game drop an interception too.
He like got his hands on multiple. He is gonna be around. He was around the ball so much. That pass
so
deflection where he punched the ball out, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
He made some great tackles around the edge, shooting into the backfield.
This is why we were so excited about him.
He almost sealed the game himself with a pick. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was the one I was talking about.
I don't know if I feel like he maybe had a couple more opportunities in that game where he was close. But, yeah, oh, my gosh. Just the way the guys are on the ball. Yeah, if it wasn't for, like, some boneheaded errors, like, we I don't think the Chiefs even score in that game, honestly. Like, the Gibbs fumble was rough, but that was more a good play than on Gibbs because he had the ball tight. It just the dude hit him right in the right spot and just popped it out.
You mean Marvin Jones?
Gibbs.
Marvin Jones fumbled the ball.
Oh, that wasn't Gibbs?
No, it was Marvin Jones. Jones?
That's why they were crapping on him so hard later in the game. After
Marvin Jones, not a good game. We'll get to that side of the ball.
He had one good catch early, I feel like, where he bailed Goff out, where Goff like threw it out to the left flat and he came back to it.
Oh, I mean, it did set up the 4th and 2 for the fake punt. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, so I mean, he had one good catch, but no, not a great. Well, the fumble really just taints any performance.
Yeah,
thought
but he also had
Gibbs.
A drop on another possession too. An easy drop. He just looked old in my opinion.
I just didn't realize that was his fumble because I was like, they were crapping on him so hard. Not a good game. I was like, what? What did he do so bad? I thought that was Gibbs, and I feel better that it wasn't Gibbs. That makes his performance even better. Oh, God, he was. Should we just move to him now? Or
yeah, Gibbs. Let's talk about Gibbs. He definitely showed flashes of what he can be in this offense. Not as much in the receiving game as probably we anticipated.
Did we even throw him? Did he catch one?
He had two catches for 18 yards.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't remember. They were pretty early, I guess, because he had two. Wasn't a whole lot there. But, yeah, I mean, well, to be fair, Goff was struggling to get, like, the O-line was not perfect this game. They gave up a consistent amount of pressure, I felt like.
No, we can let's talk about that because that was...
They had a pretty good game overall, but, like, yeah, I wasn't overly impressed. Like, Ragnow got straight owned for a sack. That was just bad. By an undersized tackle. Like,
yeah, and this was without Chris Jones and Travis Kelce in this game. The Chiefs missing two of their top guys.
True.
Especially Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones makes a difference in this game. The Lions are lucky not to have him in this game to a degree.
I think both of those guys make a difference.
That's not on the Lions.
No, and I still think, but like it could be a difference in the same way where like, you know, you're so hyped to play them, and now you're taking their best shot. Like, there's no question. Sometimes that makes you just play better. Like, so that guy, like sometimes it's the same way. Like, I think the Chiefs stepped up because of those guys' absence. Like, when you have to make up for absence of superstars like that, you often find that you might get a better performance than you expect from guys behind them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know the best performance I ever played in my life, my career, was against the big, bad, good dude. And the next week I struggled against a guy I'd never heard of. Like, you know, it's like sometimes you're jacked for that big timer and then you don't get him. And then the next guy up kind of surprises you a little bit. And I could see a little bit of that maybe happening. They were very impressive, though. The defense, I think the Chiefs' defense this year just looks like it's going to be pretty solid. Like, Trent McDuffie was a pain in our ass. That Nick Bolton was impressive. Like, that was just an impressive defense. They were very swarmy, fast, tight coverage. But, yeah. You know, they battled. I felt like both sides of our trenches got a little bit owned in the first half.
Yeah. I would argue somewhat in the second half, too, to a degree. A little less in the second half.
Defensive side on the second half, I don't feel like.
Yeah. We can talk about some of those guys.
But, yeah, but should we finish off the Gibbs and the rookies?
Yeah. I mean, Gibbs.
As advertised.
As advertised, and not even close to his ceiling.
I didn't see the unexpected way we were going to use him that Ben Johnson alluded to, because it didn't feel like we had some revolutionary way to implement him.
No, and also maybe not Ben Johnson's best game as an offensive play caller either, especially
yeah,
on some
couple...
of the short distance.
That last short distance that we failed on before. Yeah, where we threw it. And I was like, we probably should just ran it again. It was fourth and two, I thought. It was fourth and two.
Fourth and two, sorry, yes.
Yeah, turnover on downs. I thought that was just the way the pass game was going and the way they didn't have anyone out there to block the run. Like, David Montgomery would have got those 2 yards.
And I made this observation. Jared Goff, I want him just a little more instinct right there. Like, he should see that guy kind of jumping up in his path. If he just pump fakes, moves a little bit to the right, he creates a passing lane, but he just kind of fires it off right away. I just wish he had a little more instinct there, because there was plenty of room to his right to give himself more time to throw. I think that's just the slight difference. I mean, there's many different, but like Patrick Mahomes, he probably pump fakes and moves and creates a passing lane there. I'm just trying, what maybe separates Jared Goff from like the elite of the elite? I just kind of noticed that right there, because
a little bit of standing
in his face and just
he was
to jump
getting
up.
A lot of balls batted down today.
Yeah, more than usual, especially
that's
for guys.
Not just on him,
hyped.
But I think that's partly was their strategy. They knew they would probably lose a lot of pass rushes against their O line, so just be ready to bat balls down. He's not going to be running out of the pocket as much, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
He did. You saw Goff anticipated a little bit later, like that one. It was an incomplete pass, but it wasn't later. It was earlier, actually, where it was out to the flat. It was an incomplete pass out to the flat to St. Brown. He was covered like a blanket, but like he waited that beat for the dude to jump and then threw around him. Like, I don't know if you noticed that one. But, like, he showed some instincts. But, yeah, it wasn't the sharpest game for Goff or anyone on the offense. Well, the running backs did good.
I will say, I mean, Josh Reynolds had a beastly game. And he continues to be a extremely underrated, underappreciated wide receiver in at least to the public eye. I think a lot of coaches like him. But, man, him and Goff are just, like, simpatico, especially late in the game there, that big the big pass at the end of the game to get him into the red zone. Just that he caught it, came right back to the ball, and then just had the athletic ability to make a nice move outside and avoid the tackle.
I mean, he's a big, fast, athletic receiver. Like, I feel like you're right. He's totally underestimated because people constantly knock our receiving core like we're missing pieces or something. Like they just don't count that guy. I feel like we have like St. Brown, and then like Jameson will be coming back, and then it's like, oh, and like there's Leaf and Reynolds, and it's just like do you understand how reliable those guys and effective like Reynolds was for us has been since we've got him? Like, that's just silly. Same thing with Leaf, though. I was surprised they didn't utilize him in the offense today.
Leaf?
I didn't notice him much.
Oh, Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, I think he had like one play.
Do people
maybe
call
on
Leaf?
Offense. Yeah, that's indeed.
They do. Oh. Whoops. I mean,
he had a nice punt return, though.
Yeah, and he had one nice catch. So,
one play on offense. That's
reception.
I thought he might get used a little more, but so Laporta, though, he did get used.
Yeah, sorry, that was our last rookie that we wanted to cover, Sam Laporta, as advertised as well. Rud Dog,
yep.
5 catches, 39 yards. Also,
some slippery moves.
Yeah, and also probably didn't even reaches like by any means.
No, not even close. The one play, like, that was honestly what
I got tackled in the open field.
This one game felt like felt just like that, like kicking the tires on like a new car and just starting to like get used to what you have here. Like it didn't feel like they were using their full implement yet to its potential. Especially like him and Gibbs. Like, I feel like Gibbs was a little underutilized, honestly. Like, but they were expected. I mean, I'm sure he'll get used more as they go. But like the slant route where he picked up that big first down, that's like he just shook a cornerback on the perimeter like a receiver and ran a super crisp route, and like that looked like Travis Kelce. Like, is what it honestly kind of looked like. Not the savvy he's at now and stuff, but just the physical gifts. And stuff. Like, he's not the savvy yet, but the gifts are there, man. This kid could be something special. Though, actually, he brings to mind another tight end who had a really good game, Brock Wright. He showed up for a few really big plays for, like, 8-plus yards.
Yeah, and I mean, Brock, that's what he's been, too. Just, a nice, solid tight end, too, that, you know, he's got pretty reliable hands and a mediocre block, maybe mediocre to slightly above average blocker on the edge. I mean, it's a really nice depth there. And we didn't even see James Mitchell in this game.
No.
I mean, the tight end group is really solid right now. I'm a big fan of where they're at, and I'm especially after the contract that we just saw the Vikings give out to Hockenson. I'd rather have this group of three
100.
Than Hock and two, shitty tight ends.
1,000,000%. Like, we dodged a bullet. Like, Badholm saw the future and knew we had to ditch that guy before we're bent over a barrel or, get nothing for him.
And we got something for him. So
we got something for him, turned it into a player that may be even better, and he's younger and on a super cheap contract. To me, that's like,
yes, sir.
Win all around, baby. And I really do think Laporta will be a better player than Hock, though Hock is a very good player.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, Bob's not on here to defend Hock. He's a big Hock defender.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I know, well, Rud Dog, too, I had to ask you, actually, this came to mind. I know that the Chiefs didn't have Kelce and Chris Jones. Does this win feel less to you because those two players weren't playing?
Absolutely not.
That's not what you said before, though.
No, I just always want the team's best shot, that's all.
Well, anyways, I just had to ask it.
Well,
least,
it did feel like going into the game, like, a little bit more like, if we don't win this,
Yeah, like, people are going to like, oh, you lost and you can't even
beat
them.
Yeah, we can't even beat the Chiefs when they're missing two of their top players. Like,
right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like it added a little more weight to us needing to pull this one out. But, and
definitely.
We
did. I don't want to dismiss the fact that a few plays the Chiefs didn't make helped the Lions. There's some luck involved with this. Like, Kadarius Toney just, I just saw a meme on Twitter. Who's the character in Happy Gilmore? The golf, the coach with the wooden
Chubbs.
Hand? Chubbs, yeah. Look at it. It's a picture of Kadarius Toney's hand and it's Chubb Peterson's, that wooden hand that he had.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Yeah. I mean, just there were some gift
That's
drops
hilarious.
By him, especially late right there. Like that could have put him in field goal range.
Was kind of bad.
It was very bad.
It
was. It was
a
little behind.
Throw. It was a tough catch, but he should have caught it.
If you're not a wide receiver, you catch.
Well,
you're supposed
he
to catch
positioned
that.
His hands wrong. He kind of like tried to catch it like a bread basket, but it was behind him. He needed
right.
to like shift his hands, and he didn't. Hey, you know that's on them. And you know, like I don't feel bad about any of their gaffes because our gaffes
no.
were just as
yeah,
costly, if
ones.
Not more so. Like, well, I guess not more so because we won, but like I said, they got on the board largely in part because of our major gaffes. Like, Kirby Joseph just, I don't know what the hell happened to him on that one where it was like 3rd and 20. And
bad.
I don't know.
It went over the middle.
Wait, what?
Like, right where you're supposed to be. It went. Like, you should have picked it, if anything. Instead, he let it.
Yeah, he should have been on that guy. He totally bit on an in route, I guess. I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but. You know, like that kind of stuff. There was definitely like the same kind of gaffe with Jacobs down near the red zone to get him to the 5. Like he kind of went with the wrong guy or something and
right.
they just tossed it out. And like, well, there was just things that we're going to learn and grow from. But like, unlike previous years, like this was the best Lions football game I think I've seen maybe in my lifetime. And it was not because they played the best football I've seen. It wasn't because they have, like, did the best things. Like, there weren't the best plays I've ever seen. It wasn't, like, the greatest football. But I watched a team that was good enough to overcome errors beat a really good team. Like, to me, that is, like, where have we seen that in our lives? Like,
and it's a coach's dream, right? You win the game and you have a million coaching points after the game
like,
to improve.
This, yeah, like, this feels so much better than, like, indifferent. Than all those comeback wins of the Stafford era and stuff where it's like we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth in all these games because like we just because if we but if we don't have like that comeback we're just hopeless like it was like more like miracle ball. This felt much more substantial and like
yeah that's a good play
sustainable like something like this felt like a great launching pad to start the season of a very talented team who's only going to get better going forward is what it felt like.
And I hate that we're 20 minutes into this, Rudd Dog, and we haven't mentioned Aiden Hutchinson. Just how beastly this guy is. I mean,
absolute
he's taking
stud.
On triple teams in this game. Triple stud. Teams. And he's still, I mean, the guy has a motor unlike the last guy I can remember with a motor like this. Nick Bosa kind of has a motor like this. TJ Watt has a pretty good motor. Kyle VandenBosch in his younger years had a motor like this, too. But man, Hutch, he just keeps going and going and going. He doesn't
just
care if he gets knocked
going.
Down by three guys. He'll get up.
Nope.
He still is able to affect the play even on the backside of run plays too. He is commanding so much attention, which
was
is great.
He
but
carried
man,
that first
I really
half of
want
the team.
Lee McNeil to start stepping up more. I was disappointed in his performance tonight.
Here's what I'll say, Hutch. Showed he's the top dog. He basically carried that pass rush in the first half. Like he the only one. Honestly, I was kind of like, well, can we get like Houston in there instead of James or Charles Harris? Because like he looks like okay, but like he just looks slow compared to like Houston out there. Like I don't know. Like I felt like we need a little more speedball packages early on or something. Because like, but like that O line for the Chiefs played really well. And I think they are going to be probably marked as one of the top O-lines in the league this year.
It's a really good offensive line. Well,
like, they're probably going to be – I mean, they're very – and they played a really good game. McNeil did get some good rushes, but I was a little disappointed too. But, like, most of that O-line, our D-line was kind of – held in check for that game. I felt like it wasn't just like even Hutch, like Hutch couldn't get home ever. Like Hutch was just affecting everything, but he never really actually was the one. He never, well, we didn't sack Mahomes. God, that was frustrating. But like,
he's really hard to sack.
Well, especially when you got a line like that, like who is playing that well, like, and that freaking dude with his major kickback and all
I wanted to get into ref. I mean, major kickback and lining up like half a whole yard illegally. That's on the Lions coaching staff more. The Lions coaching staff should point that out to the referees if it's not being called.
I guess, I don't know.
I feel like they should have done a little better job with it. I mean, but still, it's on the refs to not allow that. I mean, the guy was like standing 3 yards in the backfield by the time the ball was snapped.
Honestly, too, like the refs let them get away with so much holding on that front. They were oblivious. It was actually like, it was really weird to watch, like the penalties and stuff in that game were called like in a really inconsistent, weird way. Like, I swear there was like a stretch there where they weren't calling anything, and then they started calling like really like homer things while they were missing blatant holds on McNeil and like calling ticky-tack pass interference, and then like not calling all these stuff on the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden it was like at the end they just started calling the game and like all right, and like they got catch, or maybe the Chiefs were just couldn't hide it anymore because we were finally putting the pressure, was getting there or something. But like all of a sudden they were calling all these penalties,
especially
the game.
The false start at the end, hilarious to finally call that on.
Well, that
it's
was
like, this has been guys been doing all game and now you call it. And it's really kind of, I mean, I'm glad to have it, but
he jumped. He definitely jumped. Like,
but
like
he did in other parts of the game too. They didn't call like
not as blatant as that one though. That one was full good beat. He was the only one moved back for like a good half yard before
on that third and 20 play. He very obviously did it and they didn't call it. So that we referenced with the Kirby Joseph.
So yeah, I guess I just missed that. But like, yeah, I mean, these refs were not calling a consistent game. It felt a bit homerish at times, but then they kind of like evened out down the stretch. And what someone was talking about, the head of referees talking about cheating or something.
Yeah, I mean, they have the ex-head referee that now is, you know, he just assists on broadcasts for any officiating questions. And he said the guy was, Juwan Taylor was clearly illegally lining up every play because your head has to be over the center's waist. And it was clearly not over the center's waist, not even remotely close.
You're right. Then that is on kind of the Lions staff to not point that out. Well, maybe they did. I don't know.
Don't know if they did, but.
Oh, well.
It seems really bizarre.
You know what? Another big thing. We overcame penalties. We overcame a turnover. Like, we overcame things in this game. And, like, this team just looks steady. Though, I do want to say, I think Dan Campbell might have made a gaffe. I'm very curious to see if anyone asks him about this. But last I checked, you get a free first down when you get defensive holding. And for some reason, we declined it to get second and two. I don't see how that's more advantageous to a fresh set of downs. And we almost didn't get it.
I agree with you. I did not understand the decision by Dan Campbell either. Maybe he was told something different on the field. I don't know. It was really weird.
I thought there was maybe a rule change or something because it seems like a no-brainer.
We looked before. You and I both did, and we couldn't find anything about any rule changes. I don't remember it either in this offseason.
That seems like a no-brainer take the penalty.
Yeah.
Like,
that was really
maybe
weird.
He just wanted to keep the momentum. I have no idea. That was weird. I'm curious. Someone's got to ask him about that.
Very strange. Also, like, I thought the defensive pass interference was a terrible call too.
The defensive,
the big one.
Oh, on Sutton?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing the ball. That was bullshit.
Playing the ball, didn't even extend the arm to push the receiver. I mean,
yeah, he just kind of bumped into him a little bit.
I mean,
as he was
you see this
around
in the NFL all the time, though. Bad throws get rewarded. Bad throws get underthrown balls get rewarded.
True. Ticky tack call at best.
The Raiders under John Gruden literally had, it was in their playbook, just run a deep throw because they know on tape that this cornerback's not going to turn his head. Then throw underneath just so it's in the area, have the receiver stop and just get whacked by the cornerback and take the defense pass interference call.
Aaron Rodgers was like the king of that shit. It was so frustrating.
Yeah. That's the bad part about having the rule like that compared to like college where it's 15 yards.
I agree, because they did not deserve those yards. That was bullshit. And it was great coverage by Sutton.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought Sutton played a really good game. I mean, you could see in this game the difference in our secondary in one game compared
so
to last
much.
Year. Wow. I mean, we like, mentioned C.J. Gardner-Johnson being everywhere. Brian Branch obviously getting the pick. It was actually kind of a breath of fresh air not having Okuda out there in the field,
right?
Because it's such a roller coaster with him over the past few years.
I was curious to see if they would go after Will Harris when Brian Branch came out, but they did not.
Yeah. And you know, Jerry Jacobs held his own in this game. He's a great like
that one
third fourth cornerback on a roster.
I'm really excited.
What's that?
You don't like him as their number two?
No, I think Mosley offers more upside in that area. So I'm really excited whenever we can get him
We
back.
Missed a rookie, by the way.
Did we?
Yeah, because he deserves props. It wasn't a fumble, but it was a hell of a hit
Khalil?
On special teams. Khalil Dorsey. That kid has shown why he stuck around on this freaking team. Like, he's just a freaking honey badger out there. Just
I believe he forced the fumble in the last preseason game against the Panthers.
Yep.
I didn't think it was a fumble in real time, but I mean, great hit in the open field too on the special teams.
It was. I mean, it's the kind of thing where fumbles happen all the time, though. That's what like Kirby did to people. Just flip them, and the ball starts coming out.
Yeah,
it was a hell of a hit. That dude is an absolute gamer. I can't wait to. I think, like, I love that. Like, we have a guy like him and just Stephen Gilmore as like the dregs of our roster right now. Like dudes who could probably step in and produce.
And those guys are inactive. Gilmore was inactive. Obviously, Bugs was inactive. Broderick Martin was inactive in this game.
I was curious about that. I didn't see the – so Broderick didn't play. I didn't notice him out
Correct.
There. Benito Jones inactive. Got a nice smack on Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes, yeah. Well, that was
a, great. He just bowled him over.
That was probably the worst part about our defense, just allowing Patrick Mahomes to constantly move around the pocket and get those rushing yards.
The hardest thing about that, though, is they did a good job, though, like of rushing. They were trying to be disciplined, but it just didn't matter. Well, the blocking was really too good, too, at the same time. They weren't beating their blocks, so their disciplined rush still had holes in it. Like,
yeah,
that was a big problem. But, I mean, it wasn't like a huge problem. He beat it, like had that one great drive in the first half, and I don't remember him running a whole ton on us down the stretch.
I mean, 6 for 45 yards.
Yeah, and it was mostly in the first half.
I don't have
the or at least that one drive. It might have been the
numbers,
one drive in the
right.
second half. But, yeah, I mean, well, they only scored 2 touchdowns, right? So, it was their second touchdown drive where he just went off on us.
Yeah.
So annoying. But,
definitely.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. And a lot of that was, like, most quarterbacks aren't going to do that. And most quarterbacks aren't as dually dangerous as him where, you know, you can afford to put a spy on them if they can run. Not everyone has the full package like he does. There's very few quarterbacks that can do what he does. And that was, like, great seeing them try to, like, just tap into that Pat Mahomes magic at the end, going 4th and 25, showing desperation. And
that
then
was very dumb.
And then not get, like, I mean.
I did not understand it at all.
It
was weird.
Your
thinking?
I think it's just I think Pat Mahomes' magic has just become that, like, damn reliable that, like, they felt like they could actually pull it off. Like,
for a second, I thought they were, actually. I thought,
every time the man steps back, you're nervous. You can't ever be, like, feel like it's like Rodgers. Like, Rodgers is the same way. Like, that ability to scramble and keep by time and chuck the ball down the field to talented receivers. Though, I mean, you could clearly see he was hurting without a true go-to guy as well. So, like, we definitely benefited from Kelsey being out. Like, that's so obvious. But, like, he just didn't have that, like, top dog. There was nobody. Like, a few guys did pretty good for them, but, like, there was no one who killed us because no one could really just beat us. They didn't have the talent to just beat any of our guys. The O-line, the trenches was actually the place I felt most neutral at, and I felt a little annoyed by. But I felt like the D-line actually played a pretty good job. Despite it just didn't look great because they didn't get to Mahomes, but like they stopped the run pretty good and they did still put pressure a lot of the time, you know.
Yeah, Josh Pascal, huge play on 4th and 1.
Yes, that was so huge.
I can't believe they ran that play because, like,
a jet sweep or whatever that was.
Yeah,
and then they left Pascal unblocked. I mean, oh, that was weird.
Yeah, that was kind of a gift in a way. Instead of the easy sneak that they're very good at up the middle. That was them trying to get too clever, clearly.
Probably, yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Our teeth are our defense is no joke. Like, I know, like, they beat us a few times up the middle, but, like, if we're if we are determined up front in the middle, I don't feel like that's so easy. And that was the thing, too. Like, even when we weren't getting a great pass rush or, like we oftentimes we're still pretty solid. We weren't getting blown off the ball or anything up front. Like they were opening holes and stuff, but, like, they weren't blowing us off the ball.
No. No, not like last year at the beginning of the season, that's for sure.
No.
Definitely a different vibe in that regard. I'll be really curious to see how the PFF grades come out. Yeah. I also want to say Kaminsky had a big play on a Mahomes rush up the middle for a first down.
It wasn't a sack, but it was, yeah, a huge freaking tackle.
Yeah, that's what he does, man. The man makes plays. That was earlier in the game.
He was kind of quiet, though, otherwise. Game, but,
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice him much. But,
that's right. Yeah. The game did not have to come down to our kicker, which is nice. Say for the extra points, always good to see. What do you think about the David Montgomery experience? 21 carries, 74 yards, but he got the big yards at the end when we needed it.
I mean, I didn't feel like they fed him as much as I would have liked to see. I think he could have had a bigger day, but we kind of went away.
I mean,
from
they
the
fed
run
him
a few
get
times.
21 carries. That's a pretty significant amount.
It was a 21. Wow. I guess correct. We fed him. Maybe the run just was getting stopped more then, because it just seemed like. Well, it just seemed like there were times where I felt like we should have run and we didn't. But and it seemed like annoying. We often seem to run right into the teeth of their defense, which
right.
maybe that's like an alpha move or something. But like I felt like that one where Gibbs kind of pussyfooted a little too much on that power trap up the middle on fourth and two or third and two or whatever mm-hmm. it was where he got tackled short. Because, like, if they would have just gone, like, toss it out to the left, there was, like, no one out there. Like, I don't understand why do you run at the strength of their defense when you need yards the most? Seemed like, I mean, especially when you got a guy like Gibbs. Why run him through everybody instead of just having him beat everybody? Like, he's a speedster.
Yeah, he actually missed a touchdown run, too. He slipped on an easy touchdown run. He had the outside. Yeah. They scored anyways, though. But he slipped.
There was a this bit of earlier. Slipping going on in that game.
It was the first drive, I think, actually, and he had the cut, and he just slipped. Ah, I was like, oh, he had the wide open edge.
Houston would have had a sack if he didn't slip. And the one where he tangled up in the legs.
Oh yeah, like yeah. But he held on. Ground, he held on. He did his. He did what he needed.
Yeah,
to.
He disrupted it, but it still hit the guy in the hands. Which, honestly, that was like. Definitely a storyline of this game because his receivers kind of let Mahomes down a bit.
Oh, absolutely. I'm curious how many drops they had. It was a significant portion.
But, I mean, some of that was because we were making him uncomfortable and he was throwing the ball in not the like best places a few times. Like,
for sure.
Granted, with his previous, stacked roster of like Tyreek and – the other dude, they probably, Kelsey and stuff, they would have probably caught those balls, but
yeah,
I'll take
but man, just really, I mean, did you do anything else you want to touch on in this one, Red Dog? This,
I don't, there's, I'm just
oh, like, I forgot, I wrote down here, Derek Barnes, I think. Had a really solid game.
Yeah.
Really showed improvement from year two to year three. Everything that we've heard about, even seen a little bit.
I think they like him better as a rundown guy, though.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I think he's like a two-down linebacker for us. You're going to put him on plays where his explosion and strength are just optimized to hunt the ball. Because, like, they pulled him almost immediately for Campbell early. Which was interesting. I mean, I think they were just going to rotate regardless, but like,
right.
Campbell clearly is like going to be getting more pass coverage duties. He's probably going to be our best pass cover guy, period. Like, in a linebacker. Though, I mean, they were using Rodrigo in the slot, which I thought was interesting. Or at least, unless that guy was like the running back out of the backfield or something. I don't know.
It was a running back, yeah.
Oh, that's why. Okay. I think. I liked our linebackers and the way they used them. They thought they played pretty well. Yeah, I mean, I think just both sides of the ball, everyone played bad to an extent, but also good. Like, we played, like, but you know, both teams. Like, so, like, it kind of washes out, but we came out on top. I think we had more talent in this field.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I actually skipped over something that I can't believe I skipped over. I'm so mad. We should probably lead with this. So apologies. But Dan freaking Campbell calling for the fake punt on 4th and 2 on their own 20 start the game. That was just proving a point right there to the league. Like, hey, like, we might have an improved roster, but we're still, you know, you got to be on your toes at all points throughout the game against this team.
Yeah, and like they were playing punt safe and stuff down the line. That was hilarious.
Yeah, they weren't even returning the punt by the end. They were just like, we're just going to play defense. Man, I mean, Dave Taub and the special teams and just the guts to call these plays is
I
just love it so much. It makes it just from a fan perspective, super exciting, but also that's why I couldn't believe they didn't go for it on 4th down at the 40-yard line. On 4th and 3, they end up punting it to 10-yard line. The Chiefs got it like to the 40-yard line, and like a few plays later, I was like, your own 20, but not aggressive in opponent territory on the 40. I know
the nature of those things, especially like a fake punt, is surprise. You can't do it like if you've already done it once.
I'm just talking about the you're aggressive there, and then you're not aggressive later.
I'm
when
okay
it
not
arguably
always
is
being
more
aggressive.
Important to be aggressive.
Well, like punting to the, you know, 10-yard line is pretty powerful. But like also like that's the thing; it's all context. Like he called it at a time when, like, he couldn't just bear the idea of us stalling out again that early. like you know, like it just would have. We needed to get something going. And it was a reasonable risk, I think, to take, and it worked, obviously. But like, and then we scored because of it. Like, but like that's just I think a just solid risk, but strategy too. Like in picking your shots, you can only do it so often, and you can't always be aggressive. And like, if you can punt down to the 10, that's a great shift of field position, and that's not a bad place to leave.
30 yards. It was 30 yards. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that decision.
I'm not even sure which one you're talking about. I don't know. Like, but I'm fine with that. Like, you pin them real deep, and
yeah, it was third
was the at the time
quarter.
Me of this. I'm trying.
It's 14-14. The Lions have 3rd and 3. Jared Goff throws an incomplete pass, a short right to Josh Reynolds, and then 4th and 3, they punt it 30 yards to Kansas City 10. When they're at the Kansas City 40. I just was not a fan of that. I don't think the math definitely is not a fan of
it. I think Dan Campbell is a bit of intuitive. I don't think he's a big math guy. Like, I think he's going to call his shots based on how he feels it needs to work in the moment. Like, and here's the thing.
Well, the next drive was the pass interference and then the field goal by the Chiefs.
You can call. What was it?
I'm just telling you the point of the game. The next drive was the pass interference and the Chiefs got a field goal.
Oh, okay. I mean, but like, yeah, it took a lucky bad call for them to score. Like, it was a good. I think I'm not mad about that kind of call. Like, pick your times. I would have been fine if they went for it too, but Especially if, like, you just called a play that, like, because that one Reynolds should have caught. That would have been a first down, too. I don't know. My dad said it should. It was bang, bang, and it wasn't on Reynolds. But it hit him right in the hands, didn't it? Like, he just needed to catch it and run. It was low, like, at his knees, but I thought his hands were there.
Yeah, and Goff missed a couple of those. Like, near the end of the first half, I thought he had a throw that he missed. That could have maybe set him up, but...
Yeah, but I thought he played an overall solid game. Like, usually when he had time and he could deliver the ball, something good happened for the most part. But, I mean, it was kicking off the rust. Game one, I'm not going to hold every incomplete pass against them. And they weren't, like, I didn't see egregious throws.
I am.
There was one that got batted down, and I'm like, maybe that was for the best. Because, like, who the absolute hell was he throwing to? There was, like... It was all because he tried to throw to the right side of the field. It was like later in the game, I think. And like everybody was covered. There was only red jerseys from Goff's point of view. Like I don't know what he was throwing to. Maybe there was a slant about to break out or something. I don't know. But like I was like, oh, geez. But I mean, he was good with the ball. He didn't make any super risky
turnovers.
No turnovers.
When Goff doesn't have a turnover, we usually win the game. Like... It's pretty straightforward. I mean, the only turnover in this game was Driver Joe's fumble. And then the Chiefs had one big one, and it was a pick six. So
that was so big.
That we did not lose the turnover battle, and we actually turned into more points than the opponent team. And another good point that our producer...
Pat Mahomes let down by his receiver.
Our producer, Kid Jay, is making a good point, too. The Chiefs, 5-for-7 in the first half on third down, but the Lions made some adjustments in the second half because they went 0-for-7 on third down in the second half, the Chiefs.
I think a big part of that was it was weird. It almost seemed like they were like giving them shorter downs. I think the Chiefs like long third downs.
Like, and the Lions don't historically. At least historically. That's the feeling amongst Lions fans.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that would be the case historically, unfortunately. But, so much anymore.
Man.
Because we have a few like long...
I mean, but Rudd Dog, there was just the way Dan Campbell leads his team, I just love.
Absolutely.
Everybody on this team hustles the whole way through. It's very cohesive, very collaborative. Obviously they weren't playing their best, but nobody's getting down on each other. You don't see people screaming at each other on the sideline because they know everybody's like giving it 100%. They'll make the adjustments as necessary. And now we got some of the skill to match. Even like the guys in the past couple of years that maybe didn't have quite the skill, still play that way. They bring in these guys. They know the type of player they want. I think that's why they pass on a guy like Jalen Carter, who definitely does not fit the mold of a guy that, like a Hutch, who has that type of motor that's going to come out every play and play balls to the wall. I think that's why they're like Kaminsky, for instance, or even Pascal.
Jahmyr Gibbs, who they drafted.
Gibbs, CJ Gardner-Johnson is like the epitome of it as well. And coming as a free agent, it's just massive. Man, I hope he could stick around longer than a year. I'm already falling in love with him.
Man.
Really
I am
even.
Too. He's so good. Like, and having him roaming back there just makes me feel so much safer. Oh, yeah. Like, Kirby.
Did we see
too,
Tracy in this game? Walker?
I didn't notice him at any point.
I did not either.
And actually, I was kind of surprised because when Branch came out, they kept CJ at safety and put in Will Harris instead in the nickel. Which, I mean, I thought they were going to target him, but I don't think they did. But
they did not know.
I didn't see Tracy in there. I think he's going to play this year. Like, he'll find his way in somehow.
He will, yeah. He'll come at some point. I thought he'd maybe rotate in at some point in this game, but he did not. But that's all right.
I mean, I guess you just want those supreme ball hawks out there at all times when you're facing a guy like Mahomes. you have a much better chance. I mean, granted, Tracy was starting to develop into one before his injury. And that's I felt a little bad because I watched the Inside the Den today, and it featured his recovery story, and I was really like,
they do a good job on that. I'm able to catch up with all of it. I know you're a big fan of it.
Well, yeah, it's exactly what I hoped it would be. It's basically Hard Knocks, but like a little more intimate, a little more spread out, a little bit, mm-hmm. I think, even better in some ways. It's not just summer. Like, we're going to get, I think we're going to keep doing it through the season, which will be cool.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know if that's for sure. I'm just guessing. But, I mean, they did it right up to now. Episode 5 came out today. I highly recommend Lions fans watch. It was just really enjoyable. You see what Tracy came back from with his Achilles and see his cute kid and working out and stuff. But, like, just, you know, it might not be get you pumped as much anymore because we just won against the Chiefs. But
nothing could pump us more up more than that.
Oh, my God. I'm still like, we beat the Chiefs today. Like, freaking A. Game
in
one.
Kansas City on their banner night.
Oh, my gosh.
I brought this up. You just couldn't make it, but the Arrowhead Addict podcast that I went on, we're part of Sideline Reporters, which is part of Fansided, and Arrowhead Addict's kind of the flagship podcast on Fansided. Anyways, we went on there because they have like 100,000 followers. They got a big following.
Oh, wow.
But anyways, we went on there. I told them the left tackle, Donovan Smith, I told them, the guy is going to blow it for you at some point in this game. And he had that big holding call in the fourth quarter that put him in
Charles
second
Harris,
and 20.
Charles best player of the game.
It was. But, man, Donovan Smith has led the league last year in penalties. And they're like, oh, no, that was just a one-off year, blah, blah, blah. No, man, I'm telling you. And 70% of those penalties came in the fourth quarter.
That was a huge play.
It was huge. So after we got off, I listened a little more to their podcast. They're like, no way they're going to lose on banner night. These Lions are pretty good, but you got Patrick freaking Mahomes, man. Like, blah, 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 blah. Even without Kelsey, without Christian. Like, man, they did not listen to a word we said. They did not listen.
I can't blame
their confidence,
you're relying on. But,
yeah, they also said, like, oh, I hear a lot of reliance on rookies. Like, that's never going to work out well. Look how good our rookies played in this game.
So damn good. Like, this is, like, one of the only rookie classes I've ever seen where, like, you just know your first four picks are all home runs, like, without even having them see the field. But now that you see them see the field, it's just like, okay, yeah, that's what we were expecting. And it's so glorious.
Yeah, and the reviews on it was, like, 50-50. It was either, like, I love these players, or like a running back at 12, a linebacker at 18.
Like, such closed-minded thinking.
Yeah, people don't know our team. They don't know the Lions.
Our team. Well, no, it's not just that. It's like they say these stupid like rules of thumb that people go by for like drafting, right? Like, oh, you don't. It's positional value, blah blah blah. And then they just like ignore like plenty of cases where hyper successful players are drafted at those positions very high. Like Devin White was instrumental in a Tampa Bay Super Bowl, drafted in the top 10 at linebacker. Like, I mean, I feel like there's more, but like, that's just like, there's these good players get drafted. And like, look at that Nick Bolton is for the Chiefs defense. Like, really good linebackers really are good. Really valuable. Like, it's just so silly. If it's a great player, it's a great player. Like, this positional value is nonsense.
Yeah, Nick Bolton was all over the field. That guy is really good.
Yeah, he is. And so was that Trent McDuffie. He was real tough.
Oh, yeah. He led their team in tackles, actually. I liked him a lot. I believe he's out of Washington.
I did, too.
He's a
real big athletic kid, yeah. And he looks real good.
Where did Nick Bolton come from? George Kolaftis actually had a pretty good game, too. That kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I thought we'd be able to neutralize him a little more than we did.
A little bit early on. Did he do much down the stretch? I didn't know.
He had some tackles. He's a second-round pick out of Missouri.
I thought Karlaftis would be a pretty solid lower player, though, coming out. I mean, I'm not surprised he's decent. Like, he was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. He's a high-motor guy.
And he's a high-motor guy. He's not just a speed guy. He's a power guy. Like, I don't know. Like, kind of reminds me of Pascal a little bit.
Say a little bit,
but
I suppose
he had a decent game. You know, just that sort of stocky powerhouse DN type who's got some burst.
Yeah, their defense played much better than I was anticipating against, especially against our offensive line. I think we've mentioned that throughout the podcast, but
I think our offensive line wasn't expecting them to play that good.
Offensive line was humbled in this game, which maybe is a good thing. You know, everybody's hyping up, including us, like top five offensive line. Well, they didn't play like a top offensive line tonight, that's for sure.
But it looked like two really good trenches battling it out is what it really looked like. You're right, though. Like, it didn't look impressive on their front, but all throughout the game, they actually did win the battle in the end, and we ground it down right to the end zone to get the final score with a great running drive, ran the clock out. Like they kept Goff clean a lot of the time. But, you know, I just think the way the Chiefs play, the way they attack, it's so aggressive and fast that, like, just sometimes we were overwhelmed a little bit. Like, duh, we know David Montgomery was overwhelmed a little bit on one.
Right.
I respect his tripping penalty because you can't just let
Do you think he tripped
really
him, though? He, like, fell, and then the guy kind of ran into him.
Up. He kicked his legs up.
I mean, but there was a blatant tripping call on Hutch in this game. Like, they literally kicked him in the damn stomach.
Yeah, no, there's so much bad stuff.
Hutch had a nasty swim move, and the guy stuck his leg out to prevent him from getting the quarterback.
That line was getting away with murder, like, for so much of that game. I couldn't even believe we got the calls we did at the end. Like, that was, like, weird. Almost like maybe the NFL was finally like, it's time.
Well, I guess in some ways, though, you should expect that when you're on the road against the defending Super Bowl champs, and the Lions have, well, in their history, really won nothing. Yeah. You don't get those calls until you start winning and proving yourself.
Like, doesn't this feel like, if there were multiple timelines, like there's another one where like we messed up and lost this game, and
Kadarius Toney catches the ball,
and we're living on like the moral win of like staying tough with the Chiefs, and like now our season's off to sort of an annoying start, and like we're probably not going to have a great first half. You know, like we're probably like, it's just how many seasons have we been like where that first game we have a great opportunity to really just find some momentum and we just blow it? Like, I feel like that script has played itself out so many times, but it didn't this time. And like, that is just like, that means so much.
Absolutely. I'm trying to remember our first game. I'm trying to pull up last year what happened in our first game. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
First game was the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, and that was another heartbreaker, 38-35.
Well, right, exactly. We win that game, maybe the season goes a different direction, you know? Like, uh-huh. Maybe we string together a few more. Though, like, last year, we were still thin. Like, and, you know, I forgot. Like, last year, we had two crucial injuries early that basically, like, tanked our defense because we didn't have enough talent to really cover the holes when Tracy Walker went down and when Kaminsky went down. Like, I just was like, now, like, I feel like we, not that I want to lose anybody, but we can afford to lose some people, you know, and replace them. We have depth. We have talent. Like, this Definitely. Felt like two powerhouse teams duking it out tonight. That's what it felt like. It didn't feel like a scrappy underdog who managed to punch up.
How about if the season starts with the Lions and Chiefs, and it ends with the Lions and Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Let's go, and we win. That'd be great.
You know, the NFL has those. I actually like their NFL's marketing this year with those with Michael Keegan Key kind of leading like this, like it's like a script reading. It's like a roundtable script reading of all the players, and they're like talking about the script for the 104th NFL season.
Oh,
and
I
they're throwing all these jokes around. Like they're like, oh, we should cut that Mahomes guy out of the script. He's like, come on, man.
Oh, I've seen like this, like that script stick sketch going around, but I haven't seen the Key and Peele aspect of it yet.
Definitely go on YouTube and watch some Road Dogg. They're pretty funny.
It's kind of funny the NFL leaning into their own conspiracy theory.
Right, exactly.
Everyone thinks it's rigged. Let's just make a big joke out of it.
I mean, you got to respect it. Even Roger Goodell, right before the game in his interview, Mike Tirico asked, "Oh, so what's the score for tonight? What it's in your pocket somewhere, right?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I left it at home though, the script." So
I don't know if you have to respect it, but it's a bold move, I guess. I guess it depends on if it's true or not.
I think where the NFL is headed, I know this is way not related to the game at all, but they are also asking Roger Goodell, like, do you think an international team will ever have, like, its own franchise?
Oh, yeah.
Which
He's
I think it will.
Out.
I think it's definitely going to happen at some point, especially in London. They're going to have their own team for sure.
That'd be interesting.
But I think their goal eventually is do you have an international league, a U.S. league, and then a true worldwide Super Bowl where the U.S. plays the international team. I don't like that, but
well,
I think
or like the U.S. plays like the European League or something.
That's what I'm saying. Like international. So because they're playing games in Germany.
I like it. The U.S. would dominate for decades.
It's an American sport, though.
Like, it would take forever for other countries to catch up with the talent and the process, the system we have for generating
talent. Yeah. Right. But, I mean, I think American, like, if those teams have a, I don't know how that would work. But
like, they would draft out of our college system or something?
Yeah, exactly. So that would,
that'd be weird.
I mean, that's where people go if they don't make the pros. Sometimes they go overseas to play. But anyways, that's a tangent we don't need to go on right now. But anyways, Rud Dog, I just want to say, because we're going to wrap it up here soon, just the Lions did not play their best game by a wide margin of what this team is capable of. They went into a hostile environment and still got the victory.
Yes, they did.
It's a great coaching victory, too, because of all the coaching points they can make to improve, it's like those are the type of wins they love.
Oh,
like, let's win with so, but then we can yell at them tomorrow about a lot
absolutely
of different
winning ugly is the, you're right. That's like a coach's Christmas present. Like you get the win, and now you get to build on all these little points.
But I mean, obviously we were always jazzed up for week one. This was a different feeling. The Lions getting this national stage.
So different.
It's so unique. It's the first time they've ever played the first game of the season. delivered. They delivered.
I feel like they did deliver. I feel like the national stage might help with like the Kool-Aid a little bit, like because like the Kool-Aid always is gonna, you know, make us super excited and optimistic, but like maybe not see exactly where our weaknesses are. But like this year, like you're getting like it feels so different because you can see just like from end to end this organization. Like I'm just gonna hype up Sheila Ford a little bit because Hamford, like she has just done an amazing job assembling this organization from top to bottom, and that's the real difference. Like you know that it's substantial because it's not like just putting like makeup on a pig, you know, like it's. It's a full end-to-end rebuild with, like really, like, cutting-edge, like, I think, just, like, leadership skills and mentality. And, like, and it's just amazing. Like, and you can see it. Like, and it's on the now on the other end of the field, the roster they've assembled, the talent. It's so obvious. Like, sure, you know, maybe we're not as strong as we think, but we're clearly strong. You know, it's just we don't know how much we are, but this is clearly different. This is and everyone in the world kind of recognizing it and getting that hype. Like that doesn't just come without, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think it's clear that there's some fire in Detroit right now, baby.
Absolutely. And you know, her first hire was Chris Spielman.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
I think that set the tone right away. The first hire 100%. That you make.
Like, that's, like, so cool. Like, you have Sheila at the top. You got Spielman, then freaking Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes. Like, just superstars at every level. Like, unreal. It's so good. I'm so happy right now.
Well, Rud Dog, it's going to be hard to go to sleep tonight.
No, you're not kidding.
But we'll have this podcast up and ready for everybody in the morning. So I hope you appreciate what you heard tonight. I want to thank our producer, Kid Jay, who's actually on the East Coast right now. So he's staying even a little later to get this out in the morning.
I want to thank our
producer, Kid Jay.
Kid Jay.
Kid Jay.
Kid Jay.
Kid Jay. There's usually more than two of us to do that, but not tonight.
Nope.
Man.
I feel like Mahomes trying to do it without Kelsey.
Yeah. Oh man, but Rud Dog, our bones are gonna be. My body's gonna. I don't know. I'm trying to find the words to relay how excited I am gonna be throughout the night and just tomorrow heading into week. We get to watch Sunday. The Lions are the first in the entire NFL. They have the best record in the NFL right now.
We are. We're the leader of the pack, baby. Undefeated.
But it's always nice when, especially when they win early in the week, and then you just like sit back and watch the games on Sunday, knowing like the Lions already did their job for this week. And now I just get to watch the other teams like
and perform, now
maybe kind of evaluate ourselves amongst the others. But
Yep, and Dan Campbell gets the part he kept talking about, the long rest before the
Yeah, that's great.
Seahawks.
It's, having a Thursday game to start is great because now we get 10 days rest in between this game and the next one.
Yeah, we're going to be rearing to go for them Seahawks.
The Lions have three Thursday games this year, which is a little interesting, but because then they have Packers in 3 weeks at the end of September. That'll be a good one.
I think we have
Then Thanksgiving is the other one. What's that?
Four primetime games in total, I heard.
Four primetime games?
That's what I heard. They said on the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one. Then there's the Thursday night against Green Bay. Monday night against the Raiders. I guess Thanksgiving isn't primetime technically.
No.
Then they have the Saturday night game against Dallas. That's the second to last game of the season.
Wow.
But there's also the possibility to be flexed. Like, they play Denver in middle December.
Oh,
you can
flex
any of these games, too, later in the year.
Do we have – we'll flex. We're going to be flexed because people are going to want to see what the Lions are doing.
I think so, especially when we're going for the first undefeated season ever in Week 18 against Minnesota.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, well, Week 18 against Minnesota, you know, that could have playoff implications. Division.
Yeah, I mean, it's bonkers that we played Minnesota two of the last three games of the year. That's really bizarre.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Christmas Eve and then week after New Year's.
That is weird.
It's really bizarre scheduling.
Recently, wasn't there another schedule that early
talking to microphone,
wasn't that earlier, or did we that something like that last year too, didn't we, where we played one of our division teams within like 3 weeks twice? Oh, we did something like that.
Nope,
I don't know. That sounds like a scenario I've heard. Anyway,
it's probably happened at some point.
Yeah,
just
sure, but
not
that's
often.
A lot of weight to those last three games. Jeez.
Yeah. But Green Bay and Chicago play each other this weekend, so that'd be interesting to watch. But anyways, let's wrap this up. So Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about this first victory, and just your overall thoughts about the going into Week 2, where the Lions will be hosting in that place, Rud Dog. Ooh. Especially after this victory.
Oh, it's gonna be roaring.
I hope they tighten the screws on the roof because it's about to blow off.
Ain't gonna be enough.
It is going to be so loud in there, especially this is a revenge game. The Lions had an insane game last year, 48-45 loss at home to the Seahawks.
That was so frustrating.
And
no punting.
Geno Smith is not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
And I really like that matchup for the Lions. I don't know if there's a line out on it right now. I don't see one. I'm just looking at ESPN sometimes, but the Lions, but I don't see it here. But they're giving the Lions 60% chance to win that one.
Well, I'm going to predict right now that our defense will play better than last year.
That's not saying
much. That might alone get us the win, though.
That's not saying much.
That was the only difference last year.
We can put some cones out there to trip them and have better results, right? Almost. So.
Turn on the AC. That might...
Yeah,
a fan or whatever.
But man, Rud Dog, I'm glad we could hop on tonight. We're going to be doing this the rest of season two. We're going to be having our reactions the day of the game, get the podcast out the next day. Look for the next podcast to come out Tuesday around to preview the upcoming week's game against Seattle. Maybe we'll have one or two mixed in throughout if we have a special guest. But right now, that's what we're kind of planning on. So. If I'm missing anything, thank you to Sideline Report for hosting the podcast. Greatly appreciate that. SidelineReport.com. Other than that, I know Connor, Bob, and UJ are all super pumped as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the Kool-Aid has never flown more, especially after a week one victory, than it is right now.
Against the Super Bowl champs.
Damn straight. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always,
go Lions!
Woo-woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.